My name is Manny Wadozi, and I currently teach government economics at a public school in the South Bronx, the Boogie Boogie Down. No, I hate that. I hate that. I do want to say Boogie Down, though. I want to say Boogie Down. I want to say Boogie Down. Does that, that's too old, right? Is that too old?
I mean, it's, I don't think it's something our students say necessarily, but people
Students
listening to our
don't say it.
podcast would probably.
People listening to the podcast would understand that reference. You know what? People that listen to podcasts love. I'm corny. We're gonna do it. I'm gonna say
right.
Boogie Down. Let me stop recording and then we record. Hey everybody, welcome back to Teacher Think Tank. My name is Manny Wadozi, and I currently teach government economics at a public school in the Boogie Down Bronx.
Hey everybody, Sicardo here. I am also a teacher at the same school as Manny. I teach 11th grade US history, and I'm excited to have you back on the podcast here. So today we're discussing whether or not specialized high schools should scrap their admission test. First of all, what is a specialized high school and what is this big admission test we're talking about? Right, so specialized high schools, there are 9 of them in New York City, and 8 of them use this special test called the SHSAT, testing the kids in ELA and math. It's somewhat of an SAT style, and it is the only admission factor to get into these prestigious schools. Schools that you may have heard of, like Brooklyn Tech, Bronx Science, Stuyvesant High School, and these 9, with the exception of one, all require the SHSAT to get in, right? There's roughly about 30,000 kids who take it each year in New York City in the 8th grade. And it's gotten a lot of scrutiny, especially this year with the fact that the city has scrapped the gifted and talented test and rising concerns over the lack of diversity in these specialized high schools, right? Stuyvesant High School, which is considered to be the best public school in the state of New York. In 2019, of the 900 seats that were offered to students, only 7 of them went to Black students.
Ricardo, that's incredibly, I mean, I don't, hopefully our listeners can really appreciate what you just said, right? So of the 900 seats, 7 of them went to Black students. And you just said that the news revolving around this entire issue is the lack of diversity that these schools really consist of. When we're talking about diversity, on the other hand, we know that de Blasio has said that he wants to diversify these schools. And what's essentially happened is Asian American groups are resisting the removal of the test and have even suggested that it's racist if you get rid of the test, because if you get rid of the test, it somehow means that the city is deliberately attempting to reduce the number of Asian students at these elite schools.
Right. Yeah. And it's important to note here when we talk about the racial makeup of these schools, right? Take, for example, Stuyvesant High School, 73% Asian students, 19% white students, 3% Hispanic Latinx students, and 1% Black students. Now, if you compare that, right, if you compare that to the New York City public school student average, or the percentage in the city, 40% of students are Hispanic Latinx, 25% of students are Black, 16% of students are Asian, and 15% are white. Black and brown students here are completely underrepresented in these top schools like Stuyvesant, while Asian Americans make up a majority of these students, right? So people are saying that this has got to change, right? This cannot go on anymore, right? When we talk about the cons of the test, many people are arguing it is discriminating against students and Black and brown students and not giving them an opportunity to go to these schools. On top of that, right, this test requires a lot of prep, just like you would for the SAT or the ACT or whatever it may be, the LSAT. If you want to do well, it's going to take a lot of test prep, right? And a quick, easy Google search, $160 an hour if you want to go to Kaplan, $167 an hour if you want to go to the Princeton Review. And they're not shy in saying that this is the only thing that's going to get you into these schools is this test. So if you want a chance, if you want to get into these great schools, you've got to do well on the test.
Right. So you and I were looking into this a couple of days ago, and it drove me crazy that this test, in order to get into these schools, right, it is only based on this test, which is absolutely insane to me as an adult. I mean, do you know how many mistakes I make every single day? I know that kids can be really, really bad test takers. The issue with this test really being the end all be all is, what if you have a really bad day, right? What if my dog just died? What if I just got into an argument with like my mom? Or what if I missed the train and that puts me in a really bad mood and I'm unable to think? I really have one shot at this.
Yeah. As someone who missed the ACT because I took a wrong turn there was two Pearl Streets on the way to my test and I took the wrong right turn. And this is printed out MapQuest days.
So, yes. MapQuest. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I was out of luck. And needless to say, I showed up to the school and the doors were locked. And despite me pounding on the door, it didn't matter. Right. These kids, you can only take the SHSAT twice. Right. And the second time would be in ninth grade, which is somewhat of a different situation. But in reality, for a lot of kids, it's a one chance thing. A lot of people are saying that we need some sort of more holistic measure.
Right.
On the other hand, there are a lot of advocates for the test. A lot of people say that the test itself is fair. Right. That the test itself is not racist because it is judging kids purely based on their academic ability rather than other factors. So then the question is, you know, what are the actual pros of the test, right? People say these specialized high schools are so great. Is it actually the test that makes these schools so elite?
Yeah, so that kind of goes into the other question. Is it the chicken or the egg? The quality of the schools rely on the test takers, and people have clearly suggested that the test encourages healthy competition, and ultimately it brings in the best and most qualified applicants to these elite schools. So in other words, like, the schools are so great because everyone is trying super, super hard and they want to get into the best colleges. Another issue is, what would we even replace this test with? A more subjective measure could lead to extreme biases, such as like students having less extracurricular activities in schools with underserved students, right? This would unfortunately lead to greater biases if we can't concretely figure out what on earth this test could be replaced with.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Right. You know, a student who's been able to be a part of a chess club and a soccer club and, you know, I don't know, tennis. Run out of ideas here. You know, that student who has this incredible resume, if you want a holistic test, like you might find on the Common App, well, that student's going to have a lot more appeal, quote unquote, compared to a student who might not have had any of those opportunities offered, may not have any sort of clubs at their school. So I think it really boils down to this issue of, right, are we focusing on the cause or are we looking at the symptoms, right, of a broken public school system we have in this city, right? De Blasio has come out and said schools need to be reformed, right? He's been championing that idea for a long time now, and he says that he wants to get rid of the test. Right. But are we really looking at what the problem is? Right. Are we, you know, we see these lack, this huge lack of diversity. And I think it's very easy to go right after the test and say, this is the problem. Mm-hmm. Right. It is the test that is blocking out a bunch of students. And without a doubt, I think there are a lot of factors surrounding the test, which certainly make that statement true. Right. The test prep, for example. Mm-hmm. That creates wild inequalities.
I mean, $160 per hour, Sicardo, is nuts. I mean, think about it. I have a kid and I'm paying $160 per hour, each hour, for them to score as highly as possible on this test. after 2 hours, right? And after 3 hours, after 4 hours, after 5 hours, what if my kid doesn't understand it? I'm still going to continually pay until my kid does really well in ELA or math. Already gross inequality right there.
Yeah, absolutely. But really what we're looking at here are the schools that are not equally serving these students, mm-hmm. right? The education quality among the public schools in this city is just wildly unfair, right? And I think if we're going to tackle this issue, you know, to improve diversity and have our specialized high schools accurately represent the students of New York, then we really need to take a look at inequity among the middle schools, the elementary schools, and going straight to the root of the problem, you know, pre-K programs, right? This starts from a very young age, rather than just pointing to the test and saying, this is the problem. So the issue now is, what is the solution, right? I've seen a lot of organizations, a lot of different people talk about how bad the SHSAT is and how we need to get rid of it. But then a lot of the time don't actually offer some sort of actual solution. So let's figure out what is that solution, right? We can't necessarily just wave a magic wand right now and fix all of our schools and make them equal across the city. But we can figure out a plan to diversify these specialized high schools and establish a student body at each of them that accurately represents the students of New York City more so than today, right? And I think number one is making the test mandatory, right? Students should not have to sign up for this, right? This should be something that they do all together, right? Like the state test, so that everybody has a, you know, an awareness of it and a chance to take it, right? You don't need to sign up. And two, I think just overall awareness needs to be raised about it. For some students, they only know about it because a particular teacher mentioned it to them, or they had a family member who mentioned it to them. A lot of the students, and I would say probably a good number of students, you know, in our area, don't even know about it. And in all sorts of areas within New York City have absolutely no awareness of what the SHSAT is. And I actually talked to a former student of Brooklyn Tech, and this is what she had to say.
So I'm Elizaveta, and I graduated from Brooklyn Technical High School in 2016. I grew up in Queens and Jackson Heights. It's like one of the most diverse areas in New York City, but it was also like a more... Mostly everyone that I grew up with were first-generation immigrants, like me.
When you were in middle school, do you feel like there was like a lot of awareness around the SHSAT, or how did you find out about it?
Definitely not. Like, I think it was like maybe like 2 weeks before the exam. I do remember my teacher saying one thing like, oh, by the way, guys, the SHSAT is in 2 weeks. And like, that was like it.
So that was like... 2 weeks right before you found out formally from the school that it was there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, okay, so when I was in middle school and I was applying to this exam, for me and for a lot of my friends who were like from lower middle class and who like most of their parents were struggling financially, this one exam was like everyone's dream. Like it was their way out. And if I didn't take that exam, I would have went to a zone school in my neighborhood where the graduation rate was like 49%. And I actually think it doesn't even exist anymore.
And just from that, we get an idea of how big of a deal this exam is for students, right? She explained to me earlier how, you know, she learned from friends in her honors class about the exam, but the school itself didn't formally tell them about it until it was 2 weeks away from the exam. And that was just happened to be from a teacher, right? So we get an idea of how important awareness is around this test. But what else, you know, what else do we need to consider if we want to make this a more equitable process?
So another solution could be changing the admission requirements while still keeping the SHSAT. You can evaluate students based off of four factors measuring academic performance. You can continue using their SHSAT score, their GPA, their rank in eighth grade, and their state test scores.
All right, so that sounds like a decent plan, right? We keep the SHSAT, we look at their GPA, and we look at their class rank to get an idea of, you know, how do they compare among the students within their own school? So the product they're coming from, how are they ranking among their peers? And right, state test scores, which is another factor to consider as well. I think that is a very reasonable plan.
And just simply doing this would require New York State to overturn Hecht-Calendra, which is that 1971 law that explicitly requires the SHAT as to be the sole requirement for specialized high schools.
Yeah, right. So this is going to take a big effort, right? If they are going to no longer make it so the SHSAT is the sole requirement, and they've tried to do this before, right? And every time it's come up to a vote, people have really come in large droves to oppose this, right?
Right.
The SHSAT does have a very strong core of supporters that are pretty well-funded and very vocal. But I do think that using those four factors, an SHSAT score, a GPA, a class rank, and state test scores would make this a much equitable process until we really can work on the quality of our schools, right? And that's, again, I think that's really what it comes down to. We really need to be looking at the causes of why these test scores are so inequitable. I do think that, you know, test prep is one thing. It's a huge factor. I think at the end of the day, though, the biggest thing is the fact that our schools across the city are not getting equal care, not getting equal resources or equitable resources, right? I think that's what it really comes down to.
Right.
You can't treat every school the same.
That's all for today. Stay tuned. Email us at teacherthinktankpodcast@gmail.com. That's teacherthinktankpodcast@gmail.com. Manny and Sicardo signing out. We'll see you all next week.
Take care. So now the big question is, what do you guys think? Should the admission process for the specialized high schools change? Send us a recording, shoot us an email at teacherthinktankpodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to put you in the next episode. See you next time. Take care.